Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We welcome you to the nation's capital, where Kevin gave me a list of complaints. I told him, Kevin, it's not Festivus. I'm not going to Capitol Hill.
Did you at least stop by and see the Christmas tree?
No.
I mean, I'll tell you what, you go to all these great places, but you have time. You never sightsee. I don't understand it.
Do you know how many times I've been here?
I can't even guess, honestly. I would say.
Okay, this is just in this venue, and I've done games at the Verizon Center. This is the 10th game I've done at this venue. I've done games at the Verizon Center. Look, I've been all over the place here. I've seen it. been there, done it. We're finished.
Other than Beaver Stadium.
Do you want a tour?
Other than Beaver Stadium and the Bryce Jordan Center and Rec Hall, what arena / stadium have you been in the most? That's going to make you think, isn't it?
Boy, that's a good... it's got to be one of the Big Ten places because I've done all 23 years of the Big Ten. So it's got to be places I've been to 20 times, such as... Well, now they've been a split now. For example, Ohio State's been in two venues. Wisconsin's been in two venues. But the Breslin Center, Chrysler Center, Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Also anything's in the conference.
I was thinking Michigan State.
Those places now. But see, they're all equal. I mean, they just rotate. They rotate these things around. You don't play the same teams every year. Some years you play them once. Some years you play them twice. So some years, for example, you only have them at home. For example, Penn State only had Ohio State at home last year. 2 years ago, they played out there. So and now this year, and then there's a home and away. So everything changes. So they're all pretty much equal across the board. I've been to Michigan as often as Michigan State. I've been to Minnesota as often as I have Northwestern. Same thing with Illinois. So they're all up in the 20s now. Outside of the conference, maybe the two venues I've been to more than any other. You know, obviously all the Atlantic 10 ones, I did 9 and sometimes more than that. I did a couple extra ones at Rutgers because of a tournament. Actually, only one. Morgantown, same thing. I did an extra game there once because, as part of the tournament. I've done a lot of games at the Palestra. So I'd say the outside venue would be the Palestra, United Center in Chicago, and Madison Square Garden. Man, I've done a dozen games in Madison Square Garden. A lot of people don't realize that, but I've done a dozen games in Madison Square Garden.
You know, I would have said outside the conference, Madison Square Garden would have been my guess, because you've talked about that a lot.
Yeah, and they've been able to win their way there, which helps. But you remember, the United Center, Penn State made two runs, actually has made three runs in the United Center where they've won two games each time. That's 9 games just in 3 years. So you can see just in 3 years at the United Center, that's 9 games right there. Then there are other years where Penn State did go one and out. Indianapolis, same thing. At Bankers, Life, Farmer, Conseco, whatever the heck it's called.
Stadium or outfield.
Insert sponsor arena in Indianapolis here. Same thing. I mean, I've probably done at least a dozen games there. I mean, 1 year Penn State went to the championship game. That's 4 games just there. And they've had a couple of others where they've gone to the quarterfinals. So, I mean, you know, when that happens, you know, that adds up. So, I mean, that's in double digits. Oh, yeah. So I've done a lot of those. Same thing football. I mean, football, it gets to the point where I know number one in football stadiums, Ohio State, because they're the only team Penn State's played every year.
I know one place you've only been once. And honestly, you probably had better seats if you bought tickets.
What place is that?
The Rose Bowl.
I've broadcast one game there. I've been there twice.
No, I was talking about broadcasting, but you probably would have had better tickets or better seats if you bought tickets.
Actually, no. We're on the goal line. You're on the goal line, but you're high.
That helps.
And actually, the view of the field was excellent. I had no issues in that game at all. I mean, I thought my sight lines were unbelievably good. So, no. That actually, it's the, you know, take, for example, where the Redskins played last night. Corner and low? No. Now you got to be clever. you got to be a little clever.
We're field side calling the game from the end zone this evening.
Jack looks at me and goes, I don't know how you're doing this. same thing Yankee Stadium last year. I don't know how you're doing this. I said, look, just follow along.
Well, you mentioned D.C., and I have it in my rundown. The punt return by Jackson yesterday.
Yep.
Was that trying to make a play, or was that more showboating?
Well, what do you think?
I don't think he was trying. Listen, you can't try and make a play like that. That's crazy.
He's absolutely trying to make a play.
See, I don't know about that.
No. Now, is it smart? No, it's stupid. All right?
It's not a smart play.
Let's understand it. It's not a smart play. It's a stupid play. You're not showboating. The game's tied. So, yes, he's trying with his speed to bring it back, bring around the corner. Now, does it have any semblance at all of getting an invitation to bring the potato salad to the Mensa picnic? No. All right? But he was trying. I firmly believe he's trying to make a play. Was it a smart play? Absolutely not.
I mean, what did he give up? 25 yards trying to make it happen? I mean, I understand if you're going to give up 5, maybe even 10 yards, but if you're going all the way back and you're starting to see the printing in the end zone, you're too far back.
Well, I mean, he got out to the 24, and then he gave ground to the 2, and then he turned upfield. Now, whether he was down or not doesn't matter. I think they allowed it to be a turnover just because they thought he was dumb.
Here's your punishment.
I'm not rewarding you for that.
Well, and if you remember, and if I remember correctly, I should say, Steve, when they called it on the field, when the official came out, he said the call on the field stands. It wasn't confirmed.
They couldn't tell. They couldn't tell whether it was. And that's the standard bailout.
but I have noticed that the officials have made it a point to say and emphasize the call stands, or the call is confirmed, or of course the call is overturned.
Right. And that helps you out. That tells you right away they don't know what happened. is he trying to make a play? Yes, he's absolutely trying to make a play. Was it a smart play? Absolutely not.
I think there's a little bit of showboating going in there, too. I mean, maybe he was trying to make a play, but
no,
I think there's a little showboating going on there.
I totally disagree with that. You're trying to get into the playoffs. He probably felt that, hey, look, I'm the one guy that can make this play. I want to win the game. He's trying to win the game. I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. He's trying to win the game. And in the process of trying to win the game, he blew it.
I mean, there are 3 to 5 things that can go drastically wrong when you give up that much ground and then start reversing field. First thing is, the odds of you being able to reverse field and get open and run the distance without a block in the back, I would say, are maybe 20%.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you that as bad of a play as it was, and it was a bad play. It was, I mean, the second he did it, there used to be a commercial, you know, good idea, and Saturday Night Live did a takeoff on bad idea.
Yes,
Yes, bad idea. Well, the second he did that, that was a bad idea. But it was all. But it was an idea on his part where he thought he could do that. Well, he's wrong. He can't do that. But just be. You know, but that doesn't mean he wasn't trying to make a play. It just was not an intelligent play.
Did you hear the collective groan in the stadium when he did that? It was like, no.
Sure. Right. Well, exactly. And that's the way it's going to be. I mean, Jacoby Jones today got taken off of punt returns.
Good. That was a mistake in the first. I said that since day one. It was a mistake. I have no idea why they put him in that Steeler uniform. I was against it from day one, and I feel vindicated.
Well, he's still on the team. He didn't get cut.
Listen, they should have.
He's
He should have been pulled from the field and given a ticket, a plane ticket, out of town.
Well, the reason that I think if I'm sitting there and I'm saying, okay, this guy's hurt me with punt kick returns before. All right, fair enough. He's hurt me with kick returns.
Absolutely.
Before.
No question about that. He has been a thorn in the side. Yes.
So then the next part is you ask yourself, if I could take a little bit of pressure off of and take the pressure off the legs of a guy like Antonio Brown with somebody else, would I consider doing it? Yes.
I agree with you, and I don't like Antonio Brown returning punts. My question is, was Dree Archer really that bad?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
See, I don't see him every day in practice.
By the way, tomorrow we're going to have somebody on that covers the Bengals, and we're going to do it just to spite you.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to tune out on that section.
Oh, come on. Hey, you got the best record. They got the best record going, and look at you. You're just,
you know.
You
know what could only be, you know, only could be better is if you got somebody to talk about the Ravens next.
We're working on it. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. We're also working on, and I don't know if it's tomorrow or before the week is out, but we think we've got Doc Emmerich.
Oh, Doc Emmerich's awesome.
That
is must-listen radio right there.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Today we'll have Brandon Gotten, BleedingGreenNation.com, Frank Badani, York Daily Record. We're in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Herr, White Tux. The dance floor is now his. Right arm in the air. Right arm in the air. He's taken over. It's Kay Herr.
Were you at my prom?
Disco Inferno. No, but I've just got a feeling you embarrassed yourself that way. It's just the way it goes. let's see, what else is on your memo here? Hold on a second here. There's a memo. How long before the Sixers are relevant in the NBA? Lost by 51 last night. Never. Let's see.
Great, something to look forward to.
It's just not. Look, Jerry Colangelo helps because they are so analytics-oriented, they are sending themselves down over a cliff here. The way they're doing this, you need to have somebody with a real feel for this. At least he is a guy that has a feel for an organization, a feel for talent. As for the coach who says he's talking about a long-term contract, this may surprise you. I think he has done, Brent Brown has done a great job. I think he's done a great job. I think the guy is actually a legitimately good basketball coach. I have a lot of respect for him, despite the fact that the record is off the cliff.
Well, he doesn't really have a whole lot to work with either.
Exactly, and I think he's made them competitive at times when they shouldn't be. DeMarco Murray talks to Jeffrey Lurie about playing time, assuming he talked with Kelly. Should he have gone to the owner? What message does this send to teammates? Look, you go to your position coach, you go to the head coach, you talk to them, you don't go to the owner.
See, that's the way I felt, too. I thought,
get out of here.
Assuming he even talked to Kelly about it, do you still go to the owner? And by the way, the offensive coordinator has said that did not happen, so.
Well, then it didn't happen. the offensive coordinator says it didn't happen, it didn't happen. I've got all sorts of emails here. I got including a sale at Neiman Marcus. That's more interesting than what you sent. What the?
I got an email. I got an email that the bowl packages are available from gopsmsports.com.
Yes. Yeah, I start tomorrow.
And feel free to get an air package for me for Christmas, Steve. That'd be fine. I'd enjoy that. And that's the answer I figured I'd get.
Also, who's the best team in the NFC East? Kevin put NFL, but that's okay. I think I know what
you knew what I meant.
None of them are.
Yeah, but somebody's got to win, even by default.
I think the team that wins will be Philadelphia. I really do. I think the team that wins will be Philadelphia. I also think that, you know, the playoff stay shall be short. Philly's getting interest in Giles. Would they think about trading him? Do you want him traded?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, you're going to get interesting guys.
Every time the Phillies get interest in guys with air quotes, it seems they end up trading him, or at least, you know, or eventually trading him in the next several months.
Kevin,
it scares me.
Kevin, it's a new regime. Let them do their job.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I am basing this on the old management system. You're right.
Right? Let them have a feel for what's going on. All right? And then go from there. There's a certain way they want to build the team, and that building that team may include him in long-term of the plans, and that they feel really good about it, so they're not going to touch him. But, you know, give them a chance to do it their own way first. There's nothing to complain about yet. This guy hasn't made a single trade yet.
You're right. It's just, you know, I have that bad feeling from the previous management system. But this guy fits three categories. Young, cheap, closer. And he's not that bad.
I understand that. Right? But let these guys... Let them develop a track record first before you kill them.
Very fair. You're absolutely right.
Man, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what they're thinking. I have no idea. Brandon Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com, with a far better report than last week. And last week, I kind of felt we were going down a bad road. Not this time. Happy things to talk about. You should have heard Merrill at the end of that game on Eagle 107. I mean, he seemed like he was slightly shocked.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today in Washington. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Were they gutsy enough to give you another car this week?
I do indeed. As a matter of fact, it's a 2016 Santa Fe. A Hyundai Santa Fe that is front-wheel drive. Comfortable seating for five with a leather interior. Plenty of space in the back as well so that you can load it up full of Christmas presents. And with $4,000 off the sticker price at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be able to afford to buy some Christmas presents to stack up. And guess what, Steve? It has heated and air-cooled seats, as well as HD radio, navigation, the extra-large screen and backup camera, and heated steering wheel. In the last couple of mornings, it's been quite useful to have the heated steering wheel, not to mention the heated front driver and passenger seat. Find out more on my Facebook page or at Kevin Herr on Twitter, or just head down and see Skip and the folks at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury.
You're just a tad too obsessed with this, with how warm your seat is.
Listen, anytime I can be warm, it's good. By the way, I just stepped outside. The sun still is in the sky. It was in debate over the last few days here in the Susquehanna Valley because we haven't seen it with the fog and the freezing fog. But it's still there. That's good news.
Yes. All right. Let's bring in somebody who feels a lot better about what he's seeing, and that would be Brandon Gouten, BleedingGreenNation.com. Brandon, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, glad to be here. You know, the Eagles beat the Patriots just like I said they would.
Absolutely. You were as much as I fought you on it, you were right on. What was it that tipped you off that allowed you, the great sage, to see it coming?
Well, in complete fairness, there was just no way that I saw them winning that game. I mean, all week I was taking them to lose this. No chance. And, I mean, really, they deserved it. I mean, they had lost two games in a row where they allowed 45 points, and it just looked like the season was about to be over, going into New England, losing to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, even though the Patriots had injuries. You know, Tom Brady is still Tom Brady, and he's tough to beat.
Right.
And
sure. The
Eagles shocked everyone. They had a big day from special teams. They had a big day from a defensive play from Malcolm Jenkins returning the interception. It was just kind of like everything clicked. And what they did is really special because the Patriots were 94-0 when leading by 8 points or more at any point in New England since 2001, I believe. And now they're 94-1 after the Eagles beat them.
Well, here's part of it, though. They crushed them on special teams. That's the part that got me. They crushed them on special teams.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because the Patriots actually have one of the better ranking special teams units in the league. I mean, their punter is good. They have a great kicker, probably the best kicker in the NFL. A lot of good coverage guys, too. So for the Eagles to really go up there and you know, the Eagles had a really good special teams unit last year, but this year kind of been up and down, kind of been feast or famine for them. So for the Eagles to really go up there and to show up big in that way, it was a surprise. I mean, because like you said, we just hadn't seen the Eagles this good on special teams this year.
Let's get into Sam Bradford for a moment. What did it mean to the continuity and efficiency of the offense, just his presence and getting him back?
I think he's progressing, I would say. He's not at the point where you're looking at this guy and like, wow, this is the Eagles franchise quarterback now. I think he's been improving, not at a fast rate, at a slow rate. He made some really good throws against New England. The touchdown throws are really good. He had that 3rd-and-11 conversion late in the game to Riley Cooper, a really good throw, stuck in the pocket. But at the same time, there are some issues still. I mean, there were a couple passes, at least two, that were kind of just dropped by the Patriots, and those could have been game-changing interceptions. So there are definitely things he needs to clean up. But he hasn't thrown an interception, I believe, since Halloween or so, since before then. So he's gone a long time without making big mistakes and paying for it. I think the Eagles are seeing progress with him, and you know, I think it was a huge get to get him back from injury instead of having to start Mark Sanchez again.
Right. Monday night, obviously they go out and they watch the Redskins lose to the Cowboys. Now everybody. Three teams are 5-7, and one's 4-8. Who's the best team among the four? This is like going to a New York City playground, and you're looking at one end of the court, and there's like 6-8, 6-6, 6-5. The other's like 5-2, 5-3, 5-4. Okay, who are the best guys in that group to go up against the other side?
Yeah, if anything, it's like who's the least worth. And
yeah, yes.
You know, I'm looking. that's the fair way to put it. I'm looking at the four games each team has remaining, and I think the Eagles are in a really favorable spot. Three of their games are at home. The last two games are division games. Really, the Eagles could probably lose the next 2 weeks against the Bills and the Cardinals, and if they beat the Giants and the Redskins, they could feasibly still win the division. So a lot of these right. NFC East teams are just, they're not good. And, you know, you look at Washington, they have three games on the road, and they have won no road games this year. They're 0-5, and they've only won they're 1-12 in road games since last year. So, I mean, you can't really be feeling good about them going on the road in their final three games. And you look at the Giants, they still have to play the Panthers, still undefeated, and they have to play in Minnesota, tough game. So, I mean, and then they have to play the Eagles in the final game, and the Giants have struggled against the Eagles since Chip Kelly has been head coach. And Dallas, I mean, people can say they're one game out, but they still have to play in Green Bay. They still have to play in Buffalo. They still have to play the Jets. I think they're pretty much done. So I think things are lining up for the Eagles.
Oh, you're just so negative on certain teams. look how the Cowboys have come on. I mean, they helped you last night.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. It's
I didn't think so. I tried. You gotta give me. I tried. I tried defensively. Let's get to the defensive part. I know that the Patriots, you know, no Gronkowski, no Edelman. The offensive line is still a mess, but they put a lot of pressure on Brady. What did you see from them defensively that really helped them in that game?
I think the big thing that hurt the Patriots is the fact that they don't really have much of a running game. I mean, the Eagles, I think, really just went pass heavy, pass like they didn't really care about getting their run stoppers out there in a defensive line. They played Vinnie Curry a lot more than they usually ever do, and that's because they don't really like Vinnie Curry a lot defending the run, but they love him as a pass rusher. So they were able to, the Eagles really kind of just sit back and tee off on Tom Brady since the Patriots were willing to throw the ball so many times, and really that worked not so great for New England. I mean, the Eagles were getting to Tom Brady all day, Brandon Graham, Connor Barwin, Fletcher Cox, Vinnie Curry, everyone was getting to him. And even if they weren't sacking him, they were hitting him a lot. And you could tell that Brady just didn't like it. He was uncomfortable, and it forced him into some mistakes. And that was a huge part of the Eagles, you know, getting that win, was just being able to hit Brady and get to him and make him uncomfortable.
No question. They were able to do that repeatedly as the game progressed, and I thought that was a big part of what they were able to do in this game. Now, when you look at the schedule remaining, you outline part of it. Take me through each part as to realistically what you think the Eagles' chances are in each part. It sounded to me when you were running it down that 7-9 was a distinct possibility. Is there anything that tells you they can be 8-8?
I think they can get to 8-8. I don't think it's super likely. I think, you know, the Bills is a tough matchup here. Shady's coming back to town. He's gonna want to have a huge game. And the Eagles' run defense has kind of been a lot more suspect than it was, especially at the start of this season. So the Bills like to run the ball a lot, and I think, you know, that's definitely a concern for the Eagles. I think it's kind of a toss-up. I'm not saying the Eagles don't have a chance in this game. I really shouldn't say the Eagles don't have a chance in any game if they can beat the Patriots. But that's going to be a tough one. The Cardinals, obviously, another tough game. The Cardinals are just a really good team. They've been playing pretty much everyone well this season. It's hard for me to really say the Eagles can beat that team, although, you know, the game is in Philly, so who knows. But so with those ones, if you get a win there, I think that's huge, just to get one win out of those two. But I wouldn't say it's favorable at this point. I would say that you look at those last two games, Washington it plays in Philadelphia in Week 16, and then the Eagles play away at the Giants in Week 17. I think those are definitely winnable games. You know, the Eagles showed earlier in the season they were up on Washington. Defense kind of fell apart in the last drive, allowed the Redskins to win. But, you know, that's a team I definitely believe they can hang with. And you look at the Giants, and I've said it, Chip Kelly kind of owns the Giants. He's always beaten the Giants. The only game they didn't win was when Matt Barkley had to play in 2013. So, you know, I think if you're an Eagles fan, you feel good about those two games at the end of the season.
Right. Okay, so you've outlined it as to what they have to do. The DeMarco Murray situation, you know, there's talk that he went to the owner. The offensive coordinator said, no, he didn't go to the owner. How do you view that? What do you know?
Well, it's kind of a weird situation because apparently DeMarco Murray said he didn't want to make a big deal out of it, but I mean, if you're going to the owner and then it's getting leaked out to the media, I mean, that makes a big deal out of it. So
yes,
not really
it does.
A great job there.
No, yes, it does. It does make a slightly big deal out of it.
Yeah, it does.
It's unbelievable.
And with Murray, it's weird because, you know, the Eagles obviously invested a lot in him, but he's just been so bad. And a lot of people saw it coming. They did, because he had a huge workload in Dallas. I think, you know, Chip Kelly and a lot of people thought maybe they can mitigate that with sports science and the fact that they weren't going to be relying completely on Murray. They were going to mix Ryan Matthews in and other running backs in, Darren Sproles. But he's just been so bad. I mean, he just, people talk about scheme, but I don't want to hear that, because Murray led the NFL, or I think he was second in yards out of the shotgun last year. I mean, this isn't just a scheme thing. You just look, you turn on the tape and you look at DeMarco Murray, and he's just slow. And, you know, this is the same offensive line blocking for Kenyon Barner, who hasn't really done anything in the league until recently. And Darren Sproles and those guys are having way much, a lot more success than Murray is. So I think really at this point, Murray doesn't really have the right to complain. I mean, this is his fault. I just don't think he's the player he wants to be, and that's frustrating, and I could see why he's frustrated. But it's really hard to for him to expect the Eagles to give him a bigger role if he's just not producing.
What did you think of the DeSean Jackson play last night, DeSean Jackson play on the punt return? What ran through your mind as somebody who has seen DeSean Jackson so many times in your lifetime?
Well, that's just the most DeSean Jackson thing. I mean, he'll go out there and he'll make electric plays, but he'll also make those plays. He just, even if he didn't fumble on that play, it was just an awful play because there was no need to take the punt return back that deep and try to make a big play. I mean, you know, the Redskins were, I would say, looking better in that game than the Cowboys were at that point for the most part, and it's not like they needed to do something crazy to get a spark. I think, you know, he just, sometimes he gets out of control. And to his credit, you know, he came back and he had that touchdown reception. So, like I said, that's DeSean Jackson. So you live and die by him. But really, I mean, he helped out the Eagles, because if he doesn't muff that or he doesn't fumble that punt, you know, I think Washington probably goes on to win that game, and they could have easily taken control at the NFC East.
See, he's still a team guy.
Yeah,
all right. He's still all about Philadelphia. Hey, thanks so much, Brandon. Appreciate the time very much.
Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Had a lot of comments on Kevin dancing to Disco Inferno. The crowd loves you.
I'm glad. And you are going mobile today.
Oh, I am mobile. Oh, of course I am. Mobile, hostile.
Well, I'll agree with that part.
Oh, you know, a lot of people think you're mean. You know, it's, and I can't help that. You know, I try to hold off on your meanness, but that's all right. We're trying. You don't know what to do, do you?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Game coming up tonight. It'll be Penn State and George Washington. We have Santa tonight as well. How's Big S Claus doing there?
Yeah, he seems to be doing all right. He'll be the lead-in to Shikellamy Central Columbia basketball tonight on WKOK, the home opener for the Braves.
And the entire town's going crazy over that. All right. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And it'll be this evening coming up on Yonder Show. It's, tell me, the what about the, what does he have basketball-wise right now?
What, Tim Ford?
No, Red Auerbach.
Well, I'm not sure about Red. No, in the opener, it's really they have a lot of guys back. They have a lot of key guys back. That shooting, Derek Ammerman's back, Kyle Leitzel's back, Bryce Bartol is back. All three of those guys, all three of those guards, I should say, are good for double figures all season long. I think what, and this is something Tim Ford said in the pregame on Saturday, what they need to find right now is they need to find that post presence, that inside presence. And if they can find that this year, it's going to be a very difficult team for a lot of teams to handle, because you have those outside shooters that can get hot at any moment. And then if you can get the rebounding underneath, it's very tough to stop Shikalimi. And they've had that a couple of times this year. But Saturday night was one of those nights where the shooting wasn't
like
there.
I always like when it starts out. It was one of those nights. Hey, that doesn't exactly lend itself.
It was one of those nights where no matter where they were shooting the ball from, it just wasn't going in the basket. I mean, shooting percentage was in the 30s in that game. Nothing was dropping at all. And, you know, Lewisburg is one of those teams you cannot afford to not make shots on, because they have too much of an inside presence. Now, tonight with Central Columbia, it's a little bit smaller team than what they saw in Lewisburg on Saturday. Again, friendly confines is going to be a big help, because they do shoot very well in the Phil Lockoff Memorial Gymnasium in the Shikalimi Fieldhouse. So it'll be interesting to see how well they rebound. I will say one thing. This was in game one, it was a very good free throw shooting night. I think they missed two free throws. I think they were 16 of 18 in the evening. So, I mean, and that was a problem last year, where they lost a lot of games by 5 points or less, and a lot of it came down to, you know, key free throws toward the end of the game when you're actually getting to the line. And that's something that Tim Ford wants to see his guards do, is dribble penetrate and get to the line more often and get into that 75 to 80% free throw shooting range.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're going to need. Young season. We'll see how it develops. How many guys crossed over from football to play basketball?
Let's see. Right off the top of my head, there are definitely two guys that see a lot of varsity action that crossed over. And that's, let's see, that would be Bussey and Krankowski. And those two popped to mind right away.
Right. Okay. Good. That's coming up tonight. Following S. Claus. I got to give S. Claus a lot of credit. Constantly carving out Sunbury time, an hour every night, when he could be anywhere else in the world. You got to love it.
I'd like to see his end of the Magic Radio. I've seen this end of the Magic Radio. I'd like to see his end.
I'm not going to comment.
I know. Thanks.
I really need to stay away.